Turn to the book of Mark, chapter 12. Mark, chapter 12. I'm going to start reading on verse 28. And one of the scribes came, and having heard them reasoning together, and perceiving that he had answered them well, asked him, "Which is the first commandment of all?" And Jesus answered him, "The first of all the commandments is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. And the second is like, namely this, Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than this." And the scribe said unto him, "Well, Master, thou hast said the truth, for there is one God, and there is none other but He. And to love Him with all the heart, and with all the understanding, and with all the soul, and with all the strength, and to love his neighbor as himself is more than all the whole burnt offerings and sacrifices." When Jesus saw that he answered discreetly, he said unto him, "Thou art not far from the kingdom of God," and no man after this durst ask him any questions. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you so much for your precious word. We pray, my Father, that you would help us, Lord, to understand thy command, thy great commandment, and the first commandment. We pray, my Lord, that it would work effectually in our hearts, that we would take it serious, that we would follow what you have told us. Lord, open up our understanding and help us, Lord, to receive it with gladness. I pray, my Lord, that you speak to every heart that's here. And we pray for your will to be done in everyone's life. And we ask it in the precious name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen. You know, I have been teaching books from the Bible. And I've taught some of the smallest ones I could find. And then I went for the biggest ones. And I went for Exodus and I went for Isaiah. Mainly because I wanted to learn it. And let me tell you, I learned quite a bit. I don't know whether you learned anything, but I learned a lot. But the main thing is that even though I touched on all kinds of doctrines in those books, now I've decided, since I'm teaching again, to start hitting some of the doctrines of the Bible. So I'll have something new, different every time I come here on Sundays for this month. And what I have chosen this month, or rather for this week, has been on this particular topic, the greatest commandment. Now, throughout the Bible, I don't know if you've noticed, if you read the Bible a lot, you'll notice that God likes to, many times in His Word, He'll bring everything down to a conclusion or to a smallest denominator, and He'll tell you the whole Bible in maybe one verse, maybe one book, maybe one commandment. And we see that throughout the Bible. And of course, when you read John 3:16, I've heard many times people say, "This is the whole Bible in one verse. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life." That's the whole Bible in a verse. That's how I look at it too. But many other writers also said something very similar. For example, Solomon. Solomon had written, wrote three of the books in the Bible, gave you so much advice and wisdom and knowledge just to live in this life. And yet, after giving you all the wisdom in Proverbs and in Ecclesiastes, he comes down to the conclusion, he says in Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 13, he said, "Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of men." So what he has done is he's brought it down to all the teachings, brought it down to only two things, and this encompasses everything: fear God and keep His commandments. The reason you fear God is because when you fear God, and that's what God wants you to do, then you're going to avoid the evil, you're going to stay away from evil, you're going to hate evil, you're going to try and follow what God says. And when you keep His commandments, this is for your own good. So Solomon gave us that conclusion after writing so many things, and Moses did the same thing. Moses gives you the first five books in the Bible. He gives you over 600 laws, and yet he puts them down in a nutshell, and he tells you in Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 12, he says, "And now, Israel, what does the Lord require of thee?" He says, "But to fear the Lord thy God, to walk in all His ways, and to love Him, and to serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul, and to keep the commandments and His statutes for thy good." So he says the same thing as Solomon. He says, fear God, and he says, keep His commandments. But Moses went a little further, and he extended it a little bit more. He says, you need to walk in His ways and also serve Him. The reason was, when Moses was speaking, they were about to cross into the promised land. They were about to walk through the Jordan as being dry land. And they had to do some walking, and they had to do some serving. So he adds a few extra things, but it's the same thing. Everything is put in a nutshell. And then you come to the New Testament, and this lawyer, Matthew calls him a lawyer, Mark calls him a scribe, is one and the same. He asked the Lord, and these guys knew the Bible very well. They studied it very good. He asked them, and just what I read here, "Good master, what is the first commandment?" Now Matthew gives it a little different twist. He says, "What is the great commandment?" And the Lord answers, and he says, well, the first one is Israel. There is only one. He says, "Oh, hear, Israel, there is only one God." And then he goes on to say, you need to love Him with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. And and then the Lord says, on these commandments hang all the laws and the prophets. In other words, put 613 laws that Moses had given, add all the things that the prophets had said, and hang them on these two commandments. Love the Lord with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as thyself. So you see, the Lord also did the same thing. He put everything, in other words, everything that had been written in the Old Testament, all the laws, all the moral laws, all the ceremonial laws, all the things that the prophets had said, they hang on these two commandments. Now, this is something that is not a suggestion. Many times you've heard that the Ten Commandments are not ten suggestions. That's exactly what it is. This is not a suggestion either. And it is not also a multiple choice. Whether you want to love God or serve God or walk with God or fear God, it is not a multiple choice. You're supposed to do them. And of course, also what the Bible is telling you here is that it is a commandment. Moses says it's a requirement. What does the Lord require of thee? So if it's a requirement and if it's a commandment, that means that you and I can do it. Otherwise, God would not be asking you and telling you to do it unless you could do it. Sometimes people say, well, if you're dead in sins and trespasses, how can you call on the Lord? How can you be saved? If God says you can, then you can. And even though you're dead in sins and trespasses, you can also repent and call on the Lord. Now, what it tells you here is that you can love the Lord. And I'm telling you this because many times I have made excuses. I have said nobody can. And with that, I excuse myself. But the lawyer also said something very important. He said something that was very true. And if you go into the into verse 33, he says, "And to love him with all the heart and with all the understanding and with all the soul and with all the strength, and to love his neighbor as himself is more than all the whole burnt offerings and sacrifices." You know, when he said that, the Lord agreed with him. And what he's saying is that all the things that we do, if you don't love the Lord, it really amounts to nothing. Now, the Lord is very plain when he is talking to the Ephesian church. In the book of Revelation, this church was a very good church. And God brings out the things that they had been doing. He says, "You have been faithful. You have not fainted. You have proven those that say they're apostles, and they are not. You have kept my word. You have suffered for my name." He said, "But I have something against you." Now, he's not discounting all the work they had done. He's acknowledging that they had done good things, and the things that you do, beloved, you will get paid by the Lord. He says that your work is not in vain. Now, the thing is that even though they had done all these good things, what the Lord is telling you there in that church to the Ephesus, he says, "Nevertheless, I have something somewhat against you. You have left your first love." Then he doesn't just brush it off. He doesn't say, "Well, I'm going to just look the other way because you've been very faithful. You've been so good. You're always preaching and witnessing and always suffering and standing up for my name. So I'll just let it slide." He doesn't. He says, "I have somewhat against you. You've left your first love," and he says, "you need to repent. Because I'm coming quickly, and I will take out that candle from before you. So you need to repent." So you see, what I see in the scriptures is God is very jealous about this commandment. He wants to be loved. Now, I also see the Apostle Paul when he's writing in 1 Corinthians 13. I'm sure you're very familiar with that, where he says, "What does it profit me, brother, if I give my body to be burned, if I feed the poor, if I have all knowledge, but if I don't have any charity, it profiteth me nothing." So you see, love is very much involved. "There is none other commandment greater than this," said Jesus. This is the first and the greatest commandment. Now, the love that we are supposed to have for God is going to be the theme in my study for this week, or for today rather, because it is the heart of all commandments. This is where everything hangs. God said he wants you to love him with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. In other places, he said with all your might. In other words, you love him with all your being. This is all you. When he says the heart, he says the mind, he says the soul, it's all you. It's all one and the same. Now we can say, well, they're all different. And yeah, they are different. Just like the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. These three are also separate, but it's still one God. So even though he says with all your soul, with all your mind, what comes out of your mouth is what's in your heart. The Bible says out of the goodness, the good man, out of the goodness of his heart, he speaks, the mouth speaks, and comes out good things. Now, this is why when he says your whole heart and mind and soul, it's because it's all of you. There's no excuse. God's not leaving any stone unturned. This is the greatest commandment. This is the heart of all the commandments. Not only is it the beginning, and it's also, but it's also written from beginning to end. You find it written everywhere God wants you to love Him. From the time He gave all the commandments, from the time He gave the Ten Commandments, all the way throughout the Bible, it tells you He wants you to love Him. You get into the New Testament, that's exactly what the Lord wants. You get all the way to the book of Revelation, He still wants you to love Him. It's very important to Him. This is something that we need to know. I believe that the Christian church, we are just so lukewarm. We do so many other things and we forget to love the Lord. It's everywhere in the Scriptures. It is also the most neglected. But you know what? All the blessings, they all start from here. Love God with all your heart, mind, and soul. This is what God wants. And this is what He's telling us. This is where it starts. I don't know why so many preachers will be preaching and say, God wants to bless you. He wants to give you. You shouldn't be sick. You shouldn't be doing this. You shouldn't be suffering. God is the God of the promises and the covenants. And they say so many things, but the Bible always ties loving God for all these mercies. That's what He says over and over and over. He has compassion. He has mercy to them who love Him. And that is something that is not being taught, is not being preached. When you turn on the TV and you want to hear somebody preaching, they don't say those things. They just pray that, or rather say that God is just ready to bless anybody. It don't matter who they are, what they're doing, what they believe. They're preaching actually Santa Claus. They're not preaching the God of the Bible. But I want you to go to Deuteronomy 6. From here is where the Lord is preaching. Here's where He got the verses. From here is where He quotes. He quotes from Deuteronomy 6 verse 4. This is what you find in the book of Mark. This is what you find in the book of Matthew. Listen to what it says on verse 4, chapter 6 of Deuteronomy. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. Now what I want to just show you now is what the Lord, besides giving you these commandments, He doesn't want you just to read Him once in a while and think about Him once in a while. He wants you to put Him in your heart. In other words, He wants you to memorize these things. He wants you to really get zealous about loving Him. He says, put it in your heart. He tells you also, teach it to your children. And sometimes I know we fail on that because we're so busy. We're working, going to college and doing all kinds of things. We forget to teach the kids. And we expect the church to do all the teaching, and they do, but sometimes they don't do everything. Parents are also responsible. That's why the Bible says, teach your children. Amen. He also says, talk to them about this when you walk, when you sit, when you lay down, when you rise up. I mean, there's no letting up. God says, do it all the time. That's why the Bible tells you in Psalms, that man would praise the Lord for His wonderful works and for His wonderful works to the children of men. Over and over and over He tells you, because when you're praising the Lord for His wonderful works and all the things that He does to the children of men, what you're doing is you're loving the Lord. You're thanking Him. You're remembering the things that He has done. This is what He wants you to do. But you know, it continues also in this same chapter. Besides putting it in your heart, besides teaching your children, besides speaking about this when you walk, when you sit, when you lay down, when you get up, it also tells you, bind them in your hand. In other words, you ought to have a little tag, and instead of carrying all the bracelets, why don't you carry some verses? He also says, put them in front of your eyes. In other words, you ought to get the Bible and put it in front of your eyes. Be doing some reading. Read what God has to say. Then he says, put it inside your house. Hang it on the walls. Amen. Then he says, put it in your gate. In other words, everywhere you go, everything you say and do, you'll be seeing that you're supposed to love God, the Lord God, with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. That's what he's telling you. And why would he tell you that? Put it in your hand. Keep it in front of your eyes. Because he knows how forgetful you are. He knows how we're so prone to wander. And all you have to do is look at the scriptures. We get rich and we get so many goods and we forget about God. We don't want to spend time in the Word. We don't want to bring messages at night. It takes too much work. We don't want to do anything we don't want to go door knocking. God forbid that we spend some gas to go out into the neighborhoods and go witness. He says you need to keep this in your house and do it all because we forget. That's God's people will start seeking also other gods. If you don't have that in front of you, this is what people do. They start seeking other gods. What did Israel do? God had brought them out with a great hand. He brought them out from Egypt, did wonderful works in Egypt, brought them out and continued to do miracles. But as soon as he leaves them alone for a little while, they forget. And they complain and they murmur. That's why it's important. God wants you to see it all over, have it all around you, speak about it all the time, because we forget. We forget God, and then we also don't fear God. And when you don't fear God, then you do whatever you want to. You could care less about sinning. You could care less about experimenting with drugs and sex and everything else that you're not supposed to. You don't fear God. Not only that, but you won't serve God. And then you don't love God. What happened to Solomon? Solomon had been brought up in a good house. He had been taught the things of God. He had a good dad who told him so many good things. And he was told by God, don't forsake me because I will forsake you. And what happened? He got rich. He got fat and sassy. He began to go after other women. Next thing you know, he's got 1,000 wives. Man, can you imagine? And then 400 more concubines? That's 400 more girlfriends? How often can he see each one? About every 5 years? Nevertheless, they wind up still in his heart. He forgot about the Lord. He got rich. He forgot God. He didn't fear God anymore. And he lost everything. In other words, he didn't do what God had said. You needed to keep it in front of you. You needed to keep it around your house. You needed to speak about this all the time. Every time you're riding your chariot or riding your best horse, you should have seen it on the gates. You're supposed to love the Lord thy God with all your heart, soul, and mind. He forgot. God knows what he's talking about, and that's the Christian church. Hello, Laodicea. That's what they do. They are the warm and fuzzy church. They're the big mega churches. They're the ones that are very rich and increased with goods. They look good and they feel good. But God says, nope. You're naked, you're wretched, you don't have nothing. They need to repent. You're just nothing but lukewarm. In other words, they do praise the Lord. They do say amen once in a while. Nevertheless, they're just lukewarm. They don't love the Lord. When God says, I'm going to spew you out, you notice that he didn't say, I'm just going to look the other way. I'm just going to ignore you. He used the very word that you don't like to use. I'm going to just spit you out. This is the way the Lord looks at this. They lost all their love. And you know, the thing is that if it had been me, or if it had been you, you would have said, you know what? They're laboring. They do love the Lord. Let's just leave them alone. Why put a cold blanket on them? That's not how God looks at it. This is so important to God. Loving God is the most important thing. I want you to look, since you're there at Deuteronomy 6, go to Deuteronomy 7. Look at verse 9. Chapter 7, verse 9. Know therefore that the Lord thy God, He is God, the faithful God, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love Him and keep His commandments to 1,000 generations, and repayeth them that hate Him to their face to destroy them. He will not be slack to him that hateth Him. He will repay him to his face. But I want you to notice verse 9. God keepeth mercy with them that love Him. Extremely important. It's always tied together. He never divorces that. He never just leaves it, okay, I will have mercy on you. He always ties those that love Him. There's many, many verses. I just chose some. But this is what he teaches. And also, of course, he goes on to say, and repays them that hate him, because either you love him or you hate him. Amen. That's what the Bible teaches. The mercy is for those that love him. It's not just for those that are just wandering around, not knowing, or not believing anything. You either love him or you hate him. That's what Jesus says. You can only have one master. You cannot have two. He says, otherwise you will love one and hate the other. God wants you to have only one master. He wants to be your master. Amen. That's what he said. He will hate the one and love the other. He's talking about us. That's what we'll do. That's why it's upsetting when you read or hear about people who say, well, I don't really worship Mary, I just venerate her. But look at the definition. Venerate means to love her or to adore her, to put her in a pedestal, to speak very highly of her. You regard her very much. It's the same thing. When you venerate, it's the same thing as worship. And God says you're going to either love one and hate the other. You can't love both. Even though some people will say, well, I believe in Jesus, but I also respect the mother. And the Bible is very clear. There is only one God. Amen. Not only does he say that, but he also says, I'm a very jealous God. Yes. The first five commandments, beloved, when you begin to read them, you begin to notice that the first five, the first half, is about loving God. The other half is about loving man. And I will speak on loving man next week, but right now I'm on loving God. And he says very plainly, you shall have no other gods before me. You're not supposed to make any graven image. You're not supposed to bow down to them. He says, I'm a very jealous God. And in the same commandments, I believe it's in the second commandment, he goes on to say, showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. So it's the same thing that he's saying, that Moses is saying in Deuteronomy. It's the same thing that God says throughout the scriptures, showing mercy to thousands of them that love me. You notice that he hasn't divorced that. He hasn't cast it away. You need to love the Lord. That's what he wants you to do. God will show mercy to them that love him. You get down to the New Testament, and Paul makes a tremendous statement. In 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 22, he says, "If any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be anathema." Maranatha. If any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be anathema, let him be cursed. This is real strong. But this is what the Lord says. That's in the scriptures. That's the Apostle Paul. That's what he's telling you. The Apostle John also says the wrath of God abideth on everyone who believeth not on the Son. So either you love him or you hate him. God wants to have mercy, but over and over he says he will have mercy on them that love him to 1,000 generations. But you know, the thing is that I'm just like everybody else, or I'm sure that you also have thought just like me, who can fulfill this commandment? I know that every time I would read it, that you're supposed to love the Lord thy God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, I would always say, how can that be done? I can't do it. I got things to do. I got places to go. I got to devote time to a lot of other things, to my work, to my wife, to the kids, to so many problems. You can't be thinking about the Lord. How can I love him with all my heart, with all my soul, and with all my might? But I do remember that I used to love tennis like that. Man, it was in my mind all the time when I used to play tennis. I was just thinking about the next tournament. I was just thinking about the next match. I would I would go 2 or 3 times a week to McFarland. I played in a league. I played in tournaments. I did so many things. But that's just one of the many loves I had. I got into fishing. I had to go buy me a boat. It wasn't sufficient just go fishing, buy the rod. Now I had to get the boat. Just like when I got into tennis, I had to buy the machine to string up my own tennis racket. I got into skydiving. I had to buy my own parachute, my own jump boots, my own jumpsuit. I wanted to have everything. I just didn't have money to buy the plane. But everything that we get involved, I can tell you so many, we fall in love and that's all we think about. But the Lord wants us to think about him. Put him number one. So when I say, oh, I can't do it, but I used to do it to the world. I used to love the things of this world. That's why the Lord says if you love the world, the love of the Father is not in you. Because we love the things of this world so much. And I would always also say, well, the law convinces me of sin. The law condemns me. The law made me guilty. So how can I love him? And then I would excuse myself by reading Romans or remembering Romans chapter 10 verse 4, where it says, "For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth." And I would say, well, okay, I can't fulfill it, but Christ did. He's the end of the law for righteousness. So, okay, I couldn't, but he did. He paid it all. So I fulfilled all the law because I have Christ in me. But it's like mixing apples and oranges. Because that's not what it's talking about. The Bible is talking about loving the Lord. And when he said in Matthew 5:17 rather, he says, "Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill." When he says this is a requirement, when God told through Moses, the people of Israel, what does the Lord require of thee but to love the Lord thy God with all your heart, mind, and soul? It's a requirement. So if God put a requirement, I'll guarantee you, you can do it. When you read the Apostle John, all the things that he has to say, he's confirming the same thing. If God require it and he commands it, it can be done. We need to do away with all our excuses. I need to do away with all my excuses. I know for a fact how much I've loved this world. I just gave you a few things. I've got a long list of things that I have loved. And if I could love all those things with all my heart and all my soul, that's all I thought about. That's all I wanted to do, and I really did. When I was into skydiving, that's all I dreamed about. That's all I thought about. I could hardly wait to go to the drop zone in another month. If when I got into bow and arrow, and I can tell you, into shooting, into anything, I fell in love. That's why when I got saved, the Lord changed me. I felt like nothing had dominion over me. Sin had a dominion over me, and anything that the devil would throw at me, I would chase it. And that's what we do, but God wants you to chase Him. He wants you to love Him. He wants you to love Him with all your heart, mind, and soul. But you know, before you can love God, you need to be born again. If you're not born again, you can't love God. It's just that simple. I want you to go to the 1 John chapter 4. All the way in the New Testament, 1 John chapter 4. On verse 7. He said, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God." And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. It's not talking about everyone that loveth your girlfriend or your wife or your kid. It's talking about loving God. Only way you can love God is if you're born again. Notice the next verse. "He that loveth not, knoweth not God, for God is love." If you can't love the Lord, you don't want anything to do with the Lord, it doesn't move you, it doesn't do nothing for you, you don't feel that He has really done anything for you, you don't want to obey His commandments, you don't want to please the Lord, then you got a deeper problem. That problem is you're not born again. God does not dwell in you. He wants to dwell in you. He knocks at your door. Every time the preaching is going on, He's knocking at your door. He wants to come in. He wants to sup with you. He wants to save you. But the thing is, we don't want the Lord to rule over us. Love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God. In other words, you are born again. A non-believer cannot love God. That's why they don't do the things of the Lord. They don't read His Word. They don't come to church. Or if they do, they could care less. But the Bible is very plain. I remember when I got saved, I had love for all the things of this world. I had been in love with so many things. But when I got saved, I loved the Lord. I cried a lot. When I accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior, I cried a lot. And even now, I still cry. I cry when I remember about what He's done for me. Many times I don't, but all of a sudden I'll hear a song, and all of a sudden I'm crying. I thank the Lord. His Spirit dwells in me. But an unbeliever cannot love God. The most important evidence of manifestation of love to God is keeping His commandments. You know, this is something that you might be thinking right now, well, how can I prove that I really love God? Go to, well, we're still on 1 John. Look at chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5. Where is it? Chapter 5, verse 3. For this is the love of God. That's 1 John chapter 5, verse 3. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments. And His commandments are not grievous. This is the love of God, that we keep His commandments. You see, if you say that I love the Lord, but you don't keep His commandments, you could care less about His commandments. You don't care about His word. You don't care about anything He has said. You don't do the things that God has told you to do. And I'm not going to go down the list and give you a bunch of things. You know what it is. You read the scriptures. But if you don't care about the things of God, the things that He says, then that's obvious. That's a clear evidence that you have no love for the Lord. Because this is what He said. This is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not grievous. He tells you also in 2 John 6, I'm just going to read them to you. This is love, that we walk after His commandments. This is love, that we walk after His commandments. So if you're not doing His commandments, you don't even think about His commandments, or maybe you don't even know His commandments, then you don't love the Lord. And ignorance is not an excuse. The Bible is very clear on that. The same way with the laws here in Texas. Ignorance is not an excuse. You can tell the policeman, sir, I did not know that I'm supposed to stop at the stop sign. You're still going to get a ticket. Ignorance is not an excuse. And neither with God. In John 14:15, He says, if you love Me, keep My commandments. That's what Jesus says. If you love Me, keep My commandments. If you don't keep His commandments, obviously, you don't love the Lord. That's what He's telling you. In John 14:21, He says, He that has My commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth Me. So you see, God doesn't divorce the obedience from the love. If you love Him, then you will keep Him. You will do His things, the commandments that He says, just like Moses had said. What does the Lord require of thee? And what He said is to fear God, love God, serve Him, and walk with Him. And this is what the Lord Jesus is telling you. But in the Old Testament, it was God Jehovah. In the New Testament, it's the Lord Jesus Christ. It's one and the same. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. This is the first and greatest commandment, is to love God with all our being, with your heart, soul, and mind. It's all you. You know, there are also many other ways that will show whether you love God or not, but I'll bring that up next week. But let me just leave you with this. Do you love God? Examine yourself. I'm not trying to put a guilt trip or to point things out, because I have to examine my own self. That's what Paul says. Examine yourself. We all have to examine ourselves. Do I really love the Lord? Do I keep His commandments? Do I obey Him? Do I walk with Him? Do I serve Him? Do I fear Him? He also said they're not grievous. Many times we think, well, it's too hard. I can't do this. But He said they're not grievous. His commandments are not grievous. To say that it's hard for me or for anybody to say, I can't do it, you're not understanding some things. He talked about His yoke. He said, My yoke is easy. My burden is light. So God doesn't put something on you that you can't handle. When He says to love Him, it's because you can love Him. You have to put your will into action. You can't expect for God just to do everything and you just sit there and He's gonna select you, elect you, and choose you. You're going to have to do some things. You're going to have to do some repenting. You're going to have to do some believing. You're going to have to take some action and take Him at His word. When He says He wants you to love Him with all your heart, mind, and soul, and this is the greatest commandment, this is the first commandment, on all and all the laws and all the prophets, they hang it right here. This is where it's at. This is the heartbeat of the Bible. You can't afford to miss that. It's extremely important that we love the Lord with all our heart, with all our soul, and with all our mind. Praise the Lord Jesus.